Is anybody in here a hiker? I'm not. Okay? After Deb got rescued off the mountain a few years ago when she broke her ankle a mile up the trail, we decided neither of us were going hiking. That was quite the adventure. 40 people carried her down off a mountain. Front page news in 4 states. Above the fold. Listing her age.
Popular.
Reason I ask. Take a look at the picture on the front of your bulletin. Does anybody know where that is? So you don't know. You're guessing.
I'm guessing.
Okay. No one knows where that is. Okay, that's fine. And that was why I picked that picture. Because I want to talk about having a new perspective. Looking at things a different way. And I'm not going to tell you where it is just yet. I'll tell you where it is a little bit later. When I tell you where it is, you're going to be shocked. You really will be. Having a new perspective. In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ compelled us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that is those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This passage here tells us that as we live, as we recognize that Jesus died for us, that means we were dying. We were dead. Scripture says when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. He paid the price for us, and that the life that we live should be lived in recognition of that. Changing from the old man, the old way of looking at things, the old selfish way of going about things, to recognizing that God has a plan and purpose for your life. He paid the price for you. He loved us. God loved us so much, he sent Jesus. And he's called us just as Jesus reconciled us to God. He's using us to reach out to the people around us to be reconciled to God. That becomes our focus. That becomes our passion, that becomes our purpose, the things that we are to do in this world. No longer worrying about what's going on with me, no longer, you know, being, you know, praying for us four and no more, as the saying goes, or, you know, just being isolated in it, but reaching out to the people around us. And that's the new perspective we're called to have. From the time we surrender ourselves to the Lord, the time we recognize that, "Lord, I made such a mess of my life. I don't know how to fix it, but I know you can do all things. If you can use me, I'm yours." Or however it was that you said it to the Lord. When we surrendered ourselves to him and began walking in faith and walking and trusting him, it gave a new perspective, a new way of looking at things, a new way of looking at circumstances. We talked a few minutes ago, leading up to the prayer time, about a spirit of offense. You are aware that you're no longer allowed to be offended, right? Everybody gets that? If we are bought with a price, we are not our own. I cannot take an offense. Doesn't mean I don't. Don't get me wrong. But I recognize that I don't know what other people are going through. I don't know what else happening in people's lives. And if I'm just looking at a little sliver of what I see and making a judgment on a big picture based on a little sliver. Or as we often talk about, looking at the back of the tapestry, not Debbie's cross stitch, which is very, very neat and professional, because I made the mistake of saying it was nasty one time and I got corrected.
It's messy, but there are no knots.
Oh, okay. At any rate, looking at the back of a tapestry where you just see a bunch of tangled threads and knots and stuff, not Debbie's. In fact, we had it for the picture of cover of a bulletin not too terribly long ago. It's a tapestry that... Corrie Ten Boom made, which on the front is a crown, a golden crown on a blue fabric, and on the back is a whole bunch of yellow thread knotted up and looks like the kitty cat got into the yarn. That's what the back looks like, but the front is very pretty. But we'll look at just a little piece and think we're judging the whole picture. We're not allowed to do that. We're to trust that God knows, sees the end from the beginning. God knows everything that's going on. And we begin to trust Him and walk with Him and show the love of God to the people around us. Imagine what a difference it makes if you see somebody and they're getting in your face and you just smile at them. You're kind to them. Paul talks about heaping coals of fire on somebody's head and you're like, oh yeah, that's how I can get them. Wicked heart. A couple of years ago, one Sunday morning in here, we had a message. We had a couple visiting from Massachusetts. And the day before, Debbie and I had been going, we were over in Sheldon. We were going to see a friend of ours. And we're on this little two-lane road in Sheldon, and there's a bunch of bicyclists taking up the entire lane. And as I drove past them, I had the urge, and I did not act on it, but I had the urge to nudge them into the cornfield with my truck. So that Sunday morning, I prayed. I said to the people, y'all need to pray for your pastor. I have a wicked heart, and this is what went through my mind. So afterwards, I come to find out that the couple from Massachusetts is up on a bicycle tour. For some reason, they haven't been back. I don't understand why. But understand, we all go through temptations. We all have struggles. There's always things that are going on in our lives. And we're worshiping the Lord. We're seeking His face. Imagine the people that don't have the hope, that don't have the relationship with God, how they're dealing with things. We are called to be lights in the midst of darkness. We are called to be an encouragement. We are called to show the love of God to the people we encounter. We no longer have an option of being offended. We no longer have an option of taking revenge. We have to look at things different than the way we looked at them before. In Romans 6, beginning with verse 4, says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him, for the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, this talk about how Jesus has paid the price for the sin in our lives, and He's raised again from the dead, and as we have been baptized, if we have been made in the likeness of his death by a baptism and raised again into the newness of life in faith in him. As we walk forward, we walk in that new perspective. We walk forward seeing things different than the way we saw them before. We walk forward knowing that we serve a God who brings the dead back to life. That restores all the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. That brings things back into place. That set things in order that were all fallen apart. That's the God we serve. And in serving that God, we recognize that we see things different. We walk in things different than we did before. Because now we have an hope. Now we have a hope. And now we have an expectation. Knowing that God is at work in us. Ephesians 4, verse 20. Says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, being changed, being raised new, having a new life, a new expectation, a new way of doing things, a new way of looking at things through the mirror of Scripture, looking at ourselves through the mirror of Scripture, looking and trying to learn and drawing closer to the things of God. Not doing the things we always did, but doing things in a new way, walking in a new way, having a new perspective, going forward in that. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The thing to look back and see the things that God has done. We have the songs like, when I survey the wondrous cross, when I look upon your holiness, the different songs that we sing talking about putting our eyes, putting our focus on God and just being amazed. I stand amazed at the presence of Jesus and of the Nazarene. How wonderful, how marvelous. The song, Indescribable. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation revealing your majesty. There's things all around us that show us who God is. Scripture tells us in Romans that God has revealed who he is in the world around us so that those who don't know him are without excuse. Psalm 19 says, heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. We can look out all around us and see the things of God. Now let's go back to the picture on the front of your bulletin. Nobody knows where that is. If I showed you another picture from a different angle, everybody in this room would recognize it. That's Camel's Hump. That is the most famous peak in this state. Not the tallest peak, but the most famous peak in this state. But looking at it from a different angle, we don't recognize it. Looking at it from one way, we take things for granted. We see it and we recognize it and everything is great. But coming from another angle, maybe we don't recognize it. Maybe we get complacent. Maybe it becomes commonplace. Maybe things become normal and expected. But we get our mind off the wonder. So, 2 weeks ago, my sister-in-law was here. She was up from Florida, originally from Chicago, has lived in Florida for, I don't know, about 40 years. Never really saw mountains. Boy, she had a blast. She was full of wonder looking at the landscape around us. This is beautiful. Yeah. Driving down the road, she says, this is like being on a roller coaster. It's just normal to us. And I realized that we lost a sense of wonder at some of the things around us. This state, this area, this world that God has created is beautiful and declares and shows his glory. But sometimes we look at it and it's commonplace. It's what we see every day. There's nothing new, nothing spectacular about it. Having her here opened my eyes and made me realize what I had allowed to become commonplace. What I'd allowed, you know, to become normal in my life. And it's kind of scary. This weekend, about 19 years ago, as we look out at the green grass, we had 18 inches of snow. I know, because that's when I was told by my wife that when you're in a snowstorm, you never pull over to let somebody pass. You stop and make them go around you. She says this when she's looking up at me because we're in the ditch and she's on the low side. I remember the weekend I moved up here, St. Patrick's Day of 1998, and we had a big snowstorm, and I was thrilled. I had never seen more than 2 inches of snow at one time. This is great. This is wonderful. Look what God sent for me. Guess what? I'm not thrilled when God sends me a snowstorm now. I've lost a sense of wonder. And it's scary when I read Scripture, because the things of God are wondrous no matter what our circumstances, no matter what's going on about it, no matter what's going on with us. And I want to read one of the scary passage of Scripture to you. Guess what? They're scary Scriptures. Revelation 2, beginning with verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, just before we read this, I went off on the little diatribe talking about camel's hump and the glory of God. We had just read a passage from Ephesians. Remember, Paul went on his missionary journey, went to Ephesus and began preaching the gospel. And later, when he was in prison, he sent a letter to them, talking about putting off the former conduct and the old man and growing in grace of God. And he was encouraging them. The Church of the Ephesians, it was where it talks about the fivefold ministry. Church of the Ephesians is where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, letting them know the things of God. And here in Revelation, take a look at what it says. Verse 2, "I know your works, your labor, and your patience." They were doing the things of God. They were doing all the right things. "That you cannot bear those who are evil. That you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And that you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." They were doing the things of God. But it had become just what you do. They had left their first love. They got so busy doing the work of the kingdom that they forgot to worship the king. And that's a warning to each and every one of us. We can be so busy doing the things that, you know, doing godly things, that we're not getting to know God. We're not drawing close to Him. We're not seeking His face. We're not falling in love each and every day with one who loved me so much. He didn't leave me in the mess I was in. He pulled me out. We get so busy walking the way people think we ought to walk, or doing the things people think we ought to do, that we're not just falling on our face, falling on our knees, and crying out and just being so grateful for what He's brought us out of. We can walk in just an expectation of that's how things are, and forget that this is a God who put the whole world in place, created each and every one of us, knit us together in our mother's womb, loves me so much, loves you so much, that He desires a relationship with us and draws us close, and He listens to everything we say. When we cry out to Him, He answers prayers. When we worship Him, He inhabits the praises of His people. He will never leave us, never forsake us. do we sometimes get so wrapped up in the day-to-day events that we take our eyes off the fact that even in a blade of grass, we can recognize how wondrous God is. Even in a flower, we can recognize how wonderful God is. And that each and every person is made in the image of God, and we are called to be ambassadors to show the love that God has poured into me and poured into you. We are called to show it to the people around us. It's not just what we do, it's our attitude and our heart when we do it. The church of Ephesus were doing all the right things, but had left their first love. And the call was to repent and do the first works. Go back and draw close to Him. For each and every one of us, that's the same call. God has a plan and purpose much bigger than we can imagine. Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things the Lord has prepared for those who love Him. That tells me if I can come up with it, I'm not even close. God has something so much more wonderful than anything I can imagine in store for me and in store for you. Praise God. Not that I deserve it, but because He loves me that much. He loves you that much. We all need to draw closer to Him every day and recognize that He's ever drawing closer. Come up higher. Come up higher. Come closer. Walk with me. Adam and Eve in the garden, after they had sinned and they were hiding, Scripture says the Spirit of God walked in the garden and said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? God knew exactly where He was. The thing is, where are you in your heart? The call to each and every one of us is, where are you? Are we recognizing the wondrous, the beauty of the Lord? Yeah. Or are we just, you know, I'm saved, I'm good. Once saved, always saved, nothing to worry about, I'm fine. People walk around like that. People have that attitude and people have that understanding rather than saying, it is by the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the enemy would have come in and taken us out like a flood. We could have been dead. Should have been in some of our cases. Yet here we are. We are here today because God has a plan and purpose that includes us here today. Are we grateful? Are we thrilled at the things that God is doing? Are we anxious to see His hand at work? Do we want to show His love to the people around us? Do we want to draw closer to Him? And do we want to draw and just bask in His glory? Romans 12, verse 1, last passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing. Continually getting into Scriptures, continually meditating on the things of God, continually recognizing God's glory all around us, and not allowing it to be something that's every day, something that's complacent, something that's, you know, we got so used to the glory of God, we just got kind of bored with it. How scary does that sound? But don't we do that sometimes? Don't we forget? I tried downloading a song. I couldn't find a version that had the words, that was singable, followable on the screen. Many of you know the song called Remind Me, Dear Lord. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my day, to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. God has given us such great and wondrous gifts. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we overlook them. Sometimes we don't recognize that everything we have is a gift from the sovereign hand of an almighty God who loves me, who loves you. We need that new perspective, renewing our mind, drawing close to Him regularly, drawing close to Him, not out of rote, not out of habit, but out of just a love and a wonder and an amazement that the God who hung the stars in space and knows them all by name knows me too. That the God who knows all my failures and all my shortcomings loves me. That the God who spoke the world in existence pays attention to the things that are going on in my life. Pays attention and draws me close to Him. Draws each and every one of us close to Him. To walk in communion, to walk in fellowship, to walk in companionship. Oh Lord, You are wondrous. You are gracious and You are merciful and You are worthy of praise. If you ever find yourself getting complacent, if you ever find yourself thinking, taking things ordinary, if you ever find yourself looking out at the scenery and not being awed and not being amazed at the wondrous things God has done, stop. Hey Lord, I need that new perspective. Lord, I need that new understanding. Lord, forgive me for not being aware of Your grace. We all need that new perspective. Each and maybe we're not all there each and every day, but we're all there at some point. And we need the grace and mercy and love of God as He draws our hearts and opens our eyes as we look into Scripture and we renew our mind to show His love and grace. Sometimes within our own household. Guilty. We need to show the love and grace and mercy of God for the wondrous things He has done in our lives, the people He has placed in our lives, and that each and every one of us is a gift of God to someone else. Just think about that. Anybody ever go to a party and they have a Yankee swap? Where a person opens a gift and somebody else wants to take the gift? Or somebody opens a gift and says, oh, it's not really the one I want. Sometimes that's it too. But we're a gift from God to the people in our lives. And they're a gift from God in our lives. We need our eyes open to recognize that, to have that new perspective of recognizing everything that happens. Everything that comes into our life has come through the sovereign hand of an almighty God who loves me. Anything He allows in my life has a plan and a purpose because He loves me. May not always be pleasant, may not always be fun. But it's part of the love of God working in my life. And if I'm thankful, if I'm appreciative, if I recognize that God loves me so much that He's even going to use that for His glory. He's even going to use that for His grace. Maybe I have an anticipation of the wondrous things God is going to do. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You for Your word. And we do thank You, Father, for the reminder that we do need a new perspective, that we allow our perspective to get fixed, that we allow our perspective to get comfortable. We allow our perspective, the way we look at things, to get commonplace and everyday. But Lord, You are wondrous in all of Your ways. Forgive us, Lord, for overlooking Your grace. Forgive us, Father, for overlooking Your handiwork. Forgive us, Father, for losing that sense of wonder sometimes. And remind us. Remember we're human and humans forget. Remind us, oh, dear Lord. We give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.